Welcome back, everyone, to the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. I am your host and Texas Wine Scene correspondent, Mike Cole, and I'm excited to bring you a wonderful interview this week about a wine storage facility that provides an elevated and comprehensive concierge wine storage for their clients. Originally from the West Coast area of Washington State, Eric and Chris LaBrie arrived here in Texas in December of 2023 after retirement. After getting bitten by the wine bug while visiting many wineries in Woodinville, Washington in 2010 and having positive wine tasting experiences at a few Texas wineries like Bar Z Winery in Canyon, Texas, as well as others along the 290 wine trail, their entrepreneurial spirit began to explore ideas of how they could contribute to the Texas wine industry. Expanding on the wine storage concept of lockers at a facility, they decided to take it to the next level by creating a model of elevated and concierge type of wine storage and services. So if you're looking to start a collection of wine, store an existing collection, or just need a space to chill out with a glass of wine, then this episode is for you. Take a listen. We have an exciting interview for the show today. We are here in Austin, Texas at Guardian Wine Storage with a wonderful couple who will be talking about their new adventure here in Austin and about the business of wine storage. But before we get into the episode today, I would like to mention a few wine events that are happening this weekend. Join Messina Hoff in Bryan, Texas for their 41st Annual Wine and Roses Festival on Saturday, April 26th. From 11 to 6 p.m. They'll have over 60 award-winning Texas wines to taste, vineyard cuisine, a grape stomp, and fun and interactive wine classes. The Granberry Wine Celebration is happening on Friday and Saturday, April 25th and 26th, from 11 to 7 p.m. And Becker Vineyards in Fredericksburg, Texas is having their 26th Annual Lavender Festival on Saturday and Sunday, April 26th and 27th from 10 to 5 p.m. This event will feature lavender lunches, artisan vendors, food and wine pairings, as well as live music. So those are just a few events happening this week. So if you get an opportunity to get out for the weekend, definitely check out one of these wonderful wine tasting events. And without further ado, my guests today are Eric and Chris LaBrie, who are the owners of Guardian Wine Storage here in Austin. And we're going to be talking about things like wine storage, curation, wine collections, and social events here that they offer. Eric and Chris, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
We're going to go ahead and get into the show a little bit and talk about all those things I just mentioned. Could you tell us a little bit about you guys' background? What did you do before wine? What was life like before the wine business?
Before the wine business itself, this business, Guardian, we were living in Seattle, raising our kids. Chris was a real estate agent. I worked for a civil engineering company. And just kind of living life up in Seattle in the gray and dreary cold weather.
I actually wanted to live in Seattle for a little while. When I finished school here in Texas, I thought I wanted to move there into that dreary, cold kind of weather. I know it's very green up there. We took a vacation up to Alaska, a cruise, and so we had to embark out of Seattle to go up to Alaska to do that. And I thought it was beautiful up there.
It is. It is beautiful up there, no doubt.
Yeah, it's from like, well, it's beautiful in the summer.
It's okay.
For those 3 months of summer, it's gorgeous, and that's when everybody visits.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So for the most part, the rest of the year, is it pretty much overcast? Is that why people kind of think of Seattle in that manner?
Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Chris, you're not very partial to the Seattle weather.
I was for many years. I think I just got tired of it. And when we started coming down here, I found how much I craved the sun, and I had no idea there was, you know, any vitamin D deficiency. But when I got down here full time, I found that my demeanor and my outlook was just so much more positive.
Okay.
So I didn't realize how much it had probably gotten to me after 25 years, but it's a thing, just the whole...
Yeah, we found out Chris was solar powered. Who knew?
Yeah. And about what time frame was that when you guys decided to come on down here to Texas? About when was that?
We started the process in about 2017. Mm-hmm. We were making that affirmative decision to start working our way down here.
Okay.
And we got here full time, both of us, in December of 2023. Is that right?
Yeah, we've been here just a little over a year full time.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
And you came down here and all of a sudden you jumped into to the business of things right away.
Jumped in.
Wow. Yeah. That's
we made the decision to, quote unquote, you know, air quotes, retire.
Okay.
And get out of Seattle. And we just fell in love with Texas and we fell in love with everything going on down here. And we figured we're not just going to sit on our hands in retirement. We're going to do something. And this is what we decided to do.
Okay. To get into the wine business and wine storage, and we'll jump more into that. But in terms of wine itself, we talked about a little bit about Washington State, you know, about wine and things like that. When did you guys get the wine bug? And then how did that transition into a facility and a business like this?
You want me to go?
if you want to,
we got the wine bug about 12 to
15 years ago.
Okay.
And we took a trip up to Woodinville in Washington. It's northeast of Seattle. And they have hundreds of wineries there. And the very first winery that we stopped at was Brian Carter Cellars, and he does blends.
Okay.
And we loved it. We loved everything about it. Mm-hmm. And they had, we started talking immediately about their wine clubs.
Okay.
And they had a special wine club called the Savant Club. And with that, it was more experiential than just getting your wine every quarter. It was taking trips out to the vineyards to learn how Brian specifically manicured his
rose.
Wow. And it was so interesting. And we'd have our own wine blending classes.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I mean, there was just all sorts of different things that we just started falling in love with it and wanted to know more and more.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the start of the bug.
Yeah. It was all about learning about wine. And because wine is so much more than what you just get in a bottle.
Right.
There's so much work that goes into, you know, vineyard management and how you handle the grapes and when you pick and, and the right chemical, you know, the right sugar levels in the grapes and then the yeast. And then what do you ferment it in?
In
vats or barrels and all the decisions that go into winemaking. We were just enthralled.
Yeah. It seems like once you kind of get a taste of one of those subjects that you just mentioned, I know like for me, I would hear something about bricks and okay, well, what are bricks? And I start reading about bricks and then that would transition into, you know, how that came about, photosynthesis. And now I'm down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And it just kind of snowballs. And all of a sudden, you just find yourself with a few books around that. You're like, this is a great subject. And it's also a delicious subject.
Yes. Yeah. And it helped us, you know, you appreciate when you buy a bottle of wine, what's gone into that bottle.
Yeah. And then about, I don't know, almost 8 years ago or so, 10 years or so, Brian had the opportunity to sell a little bit of his company to some of the wine club members. So we were fortunate enough to be able to buy a small portion of the winery.
Oh, great.
So we own a small portion of a Washington winery.
Oh, cool.
and we love it.
Yeah.
So we, through that, we also started learning the business side of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been extremely eye-opening and again, another huge learning curve.
Yes. And I think we, as consumers, we do see the romantic part of wine, the vineyards, the winery, but the business behind it, or the growing of the grapes and processing and vinification and all those things that comes along with this business is kind of goes unseen. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden this beautiful bottle of wine appears on your dinner table. For us to that are in the industry and understand those behind the scenes challenges, mm-hmm. it sure makes us appreciate it a little bit more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you come on down to Texas. Where did you land first in terms of locale? Did you come directly here to Austin, or did you go to a different place before coming out of this area?
We started in Canyon because our son had transferred from Gonzaga University to West Texas A&M playing baseball.
Okay.
And so we started visiting we'd come down to watch him play a series and started visiting all these wonderful small Texas towns, mm-hmm. and absolutely loved it. But our wine experience was was it Amarillo or was it Canyon?
Just south of Canyon.
South of Canyon. We thought, let's see if there are any wineries here. We were wondering what there was, and there was one called Barzee.
Barzee, Barzee.
Are you familiar with Marty?
I am, yes, ma'am.
He is a hoot.
Yeah, we had the best time visiting with him and trying his wine, and we said, this isn't terrible.
Okay,
this is drinkable.
Yeah, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And we brought some home, and we reordered some, and we said, wow, they can make wine in Texas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And so from that Canyon area, did you then, after your son moved on for playing baseball, did you relocate to a different city, or how did that come about?
We were just visiting. And okay. So when we were coming down, our daughter ended up with a job at A&M.
Okay.
And so we'd kind of go in between and visit places. And we had someone ask us somewhere along the line if we had been to Fredericksburg.
No.
We said, no, we'd have never heard of it. And they said, oh, well, that's the Napa Valley of Texas. We said, oh, well, then we need to go there.
You need to go there. Yeah.
So I think our next trip was a trip to Fredericksburg and kind of driving that 290. And then I don't remember how Dripping came into it, but we fell in love with Dripping Springs.
Okay.
And being at the kind of the gateway to the wine country.
Sure.
We love the area.
Yeah, this is a really nice area. I don't get a chance to, come to this area, quite often, but I'm just coming up here today. It was a beautiful drive, and it's definitely back on my radar to make this drive a little bit more often for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember what the first winery was when you guys hit 290 years ago?
Seguizio.
Oh, 290. Signor.
Signor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Signor. Sorry. Yeah. That's California.
Seguizio is Healdsburg. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Signor.
Yeah. It was Signor. And it was like right after they initially opened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we pulled in, they were still pulling wines from Oregon. Because I guess they're partnered with a winery up in Oregon.
Yes, there's some connection there with Oregon for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so that was the first one we stopped, and so we got Oregon wine. But then we hit Becker, and we hit Grape Creek, and we...
Lostra.
Oh, yeah,
Lostra. First one in Fredericksburg,
Yeah.
All right. Those are some good wineries there.
Narrow Path, too. I remember we did that one.
Yeah.
So we just this is a Disneyland.
This is Disneyland. And this is it. Yeah. And the 290 corridor all the way from Johnson City to Fredericksburg. I mean, it's just really, really moving. Just some new folks that we mentioned earlier that's popping up in on the 290 trail. I love the activity. Some folks don't seem to like the fact that it's getting as much traction. Mm-hmm. And as much popularity as it is, but I mean, Napa Valley would have probably been the same way, all those years ago. Now, everybody makes it a destination to go to Napa Valley or to Oregon or Washington State or, you know, the Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
And Fredericksburg and 290 seems to be getting that kind of recognition, particularly the fact that we're making some fantastic Texas wines as well. So along with that growth and the quality of wine that we're producing in the state definitely helps things move, you know, and definitely in a positive direction. I'm not so sure why there's a little bit of hesitation. I don't know if our Fredericksburg folks don't want to lose the small charm feel of Fredericksburg, which I completely understand.
Sure.
But I think that train is moving down the track pretty fast right now.
Agreed.
And from our perspective, we come from Washington, which is this town called Woodinville. Chateau Saint-Michel, probably the biggest winery in Washington that everybody knows. They located in Woodinville, and then everybody else started locating in Woodinville. And today, there are hundreds of wineries in Woodinville.
Wow. Wow.
And it's tough to manage sometimes.
Sure.
It's crazy on a weekend. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. And it's that symbiotic relationship because sure. Because in the wine world, it's too small and too tight to try to push everybody out. You know, everybody's helping each other.
That's fantastic. And I'm glad you mentioned that. As I get a chance to talk to some other, you know, winery owners and winemakers across the state doing these interviews, that comes up quite a bit where there's a level of camaraderie amongst wineries and winemakers that they're willing to help each other. Hey, my press is down and you can bring your grapes over here and press them out, or the forklift just went down. You know, hey, you know, I'll bring my forklift over to get you through over the next, you know, several weeks. And you gotta love that helpful effort amongst the guys. And that's really what drives and pushes everyone forward, right?
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
So Guardian, wine storage. What is Guardian? How did that idea develop?
We knew when we quote unquote retired and moved to Texas, we wanted to do something in the wine space, in the wine industry. We want to support the wine industry. Chris said something to me at one point, you know, if Texas sets their mind to do something, they're going to do it damn well.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we were excited about all the growth and thought, you know, we could do something to help the wine industry. And we thought, you know, we're pretty good at details. So the whole back end of the wine industry, what if we fulfilled wine club shipments and dealt with logistics and labeling and permits and did all of that and let the winemakers focus on making wine? And we looked at each other and said, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then we found out Wine Cub was already doing it.
Oh, no, just missed it.
No, missed it. Missed it by about 2 years.
Yeah.
But so we scaled back a little bit and said, you know, what could we do that would create community, support the area? And we were in the process of moving down here. And we had to store our wine and ship our wine down here when we sold our house up there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Guardian wasn't open yet because we hadn't built it. So we started at another place in Austin and looked around a little bit and said, there's really nothing out in Dripping Springs.
Yeah.
And you look at a metro area like San Antonio or Dallas or Houston, and there are dozens. And there are two or three in Austin. It's like, maybe there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we took a gamble, if you will, and started chasing it.
All right. Well, that's great. I know, at least as I'm kind of doing all the wine stuff and researching and activities and events and things like that, I hadn't heard about very many facilities like this, or, you know, I had heard about one in Austin. I hadn't heard about any, to be honest with you, in San Antonio. And so when I did hear, or your Guardian came across my table, I was like, I got to talk to those guys. That's cool. So we got, you know, I want to know the kind of the behind the scenes and you know, why there's not more of these types of facilities offering the services needed for people who have collections or want to start collections in the wine businesses, which is some of the things or some of the services Guardian offers.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, why there aren't more, I don't know. But I know that when we started collecting up in Washington, we had a basement that stayed nice and cool.
Yeah.
So we could keep a few cases down there and it wasn't that bad. And then we started looking around and we found that, oh, wow, this is a thing. This wine storage is a business. And there are a bunch in Seattle.
That were full.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were packed over full, many of them. So.
And then we knew that there was something there.
Okay.
And it was a service we needed. And we had a few friends down here that are in similar boats. And it's like, yeah, I store it in my living room and it, you know, the temperature fluctuates and the AC goes out. And it's like, yeah. But you just had a huge expense building this collection. Are you really going to put it at risk like that? So anyway, you know, we did a little bit of research and figured out, yeah, there is a need. It's hard to get the word out because it's a niche business.
Sure.
Not everybody needs it, but those that do, when they find you, it's like, oh, thank you, finally.
Yes.
You know, I don't have to worry about getting a backup generator at my house.
Right.
Because you got that.
You got that. You know?
I don't have to worry about keeping it at an even 55. You got that.
Sure. When you decided that there is something to this business, you mentioned a couple of the requirements to take care of a couple bottles of wine, a couple cases of wine. Did you go deep into the woods with what are the very fundamental, the most salient aspects about having a wine storage facility? What do we absolutely need? And can you talk about some of those requirements that is necessary for this facility?
Sure. Everything to keep wine stable. So you can't have temperature fluctuations. And an even 55 degrees is ideal.
Okay.
It's for both reds and whites. People ask all the time.
Sure.
You know, is it different? It's not. It's the same. Wine is an organism, if you will. It's still breathing. It's still living. It's still maturing. And those phenolic compounds are still breaking down and recombining. So it needs to be warm enough so that they can do that, but still cold enough that it doesn't happen too fast.
Okay.
So temperature is one thing. Humidity is another one. You got to keep it nice and humid so the corks, you know, don't dry out.
Sure.
You can't have a lot of vibration because if you imagine vibrating a bottle or shaking it, it's not going to be good for it.
Okay.
So no vibrations, keeping it as dark as possible. So our lights are all on timers and motion sensors, you know?
Yeah, cool.
Everything's stored in boxes. So we take care of that. And we have backup systems and dual systems and security systems and, you know, all of that in place. And yeah, we went down the rabbit hole of all of that.
that's very important to have those things in play. As we took a little bit of a tour, you know, to the wine storage area in the back, you mentioned to me about the walls.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really interesting to see one of the panels there and the thickness and how that insulates that room back there. And it's nice and cool and it's the perfect storage facility. Can you talk a little bit about those panels and how they're keeping it nice and cool for us?
You've probably heard the thing: you can keep a cube of ice in a Yeti cooler for, you know, a week or something, and it hardly melts, right?
Yeah.
The Yeti coolers are inch and a half, maybe. Our walls are 4 inches thick, metal clad, insulated, fully insulated. All the way around, and it's just so solid and does not lose any temperature whatsoever.
Shortly after we opened, we had some electrical thing that they had to work on for, it seemed like it was a couple days, and it never changed temperature with people coming in and out, and lights were on. This was before, you know, everybody was in here, or before clients were in here, but it maintained still at 55.
We hired the right people to design it. That was it.
Yeah.
And build it for us.
That was going to be my next question. You have a shell of a space. the average person can't just walk off the street and look at the space and say, hey, this is going to be a wine store. You know, how are we going to do this? The way you guys have this space set up and, you know, having it built out for a wine storage, we had talked a little bit about that. Does it require an architect type person, or is it an engineer type person to finish out a space like this for a wine storage facility?
Yes. So we hired an architect and she read design.
Jennifer.
Okay. Yeah. She pulled in any engineering calcs or anything that she needed from structural.
Yeah.
But she headed that up for us.
Okay.
For the cooler specifically, our general contractor brought in a company called Austin Air and Ice.
Okay.
And this is what they do. And they knew exactly what they were doing when they did this. Okay. So they designed the dual systems. They, they designed the walls. They designed, you know, how it all went together. And
sure.
It was quite an ordeal, but it was great because they were really, construction always takes longer than you expect, right?
Sure.
But there were really no big issues. Everybody was professional, knew what the heck they were doing, and we're thrilled.
When the space, particularly the storage space back there with where all the wines are stored, when the facility was complete, did you have to go through a bit of a period of testing the area back there to make sure it stayed at the correct humidity, the correct temperature? Was that a 2-week time frame? Was that a 3-month time frame to say, okay, now we got it dialed in. The temperature's not changing. This is it.
When they turned it over to us, we went and got our wine out of the other storage facility.
Okay.
We were the test case.
You were the test case.
Yeah. So we loaded it up. And you know, the more wine that we store in there, the larger the thermal mass and the easier it is to cool it. So it took a while to get it down to temperature because we opened in August, so it was in July.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You know, it took us a little while to get it down to temperature, but once it got there, it held. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I think we tested for about a week, and then we started getting calls from customers.
Wow. Wow. You're comfortable or ready to bring them on in and get them stored. Since you mentioned customers, let's talk a little bit about the type of clients that you guys have here in the space. Who are some of the clients? Who are some of the people that seek this type of service? Is it, you know, consumers that have, you know, a case of wine? Is it consumers that have, you know, huge several cases of wine from very popular regions of the world with their wine? Who are your clients?
We try to guess who our client would be. And I think we were pretty right for the most part. Mm-hmm. It's generally somebody with about 200 to 300 bottles.
Okay.
So, you know, 10 to 15 cases. You really can't put your thumb on it because we have a client that stores one case.
Okay. So there's no minimums or maximums in terms of, you know, people who want to store or even start a collection of wine here with you guys. There's no types of requirements for those folks.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, they're what you can store a bottle, or you can store 1,000 bottles, or 2,000 bottles, or whatever. We have no minimum. We do have a minimum charge.
Okay.
So, however many cases that would fit within a minimum charge, then that's how many cases that you can put in there.
Yeah, and you essentially get 5 cases for the minimum charge.
Okay.
But a month, it's $30 a month. And if you wanted to store one case and use our lounge space, you're welcome to. You get free use of the lounge space if you store any wine here. So you can come in here, sit on the couch, drink your wine, have friends over. You don't have to clean your house. You don't have to worry about your dogs. You know, you can hang out. You can use the Wi-Fi. You can
work.
Yeah, or sit here and work if you want.
Yeah.
You mentioned the lounge space. I wish our listeners can see this space. It is very, very well done. It's very comfortable. I can see getting a lot of work done here with a glass of wine. This is the perfect. Yeah, that is a problem. This is the perfect space. It's nicely done and very comfortable. Did you have someone help you come in and help design this space to make it feel as welcoming and as comfortable for your clientele?
Yes, we did. We had a lovely lady, Sonia Musiat, that came in here and started to understand our vision right away and started putting it together for us. And within, oh my gosh, 2 months, I think, it was, she had everything procured and we were ready to go.
We didn't necessarily see where she was going at times, but she did.
She did.
And thankfully, she knows. Yeah. And we trusted her, and she did an awesome job.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys kind of stood back a little bit, and she started bringing some things in or getting some colors together or some chairs and couches. And you're saying, well, I don't know if that works, but then all of a sudden it comes together. I mean, what happens there?
You know? Exactly. And there was some, I mean, when she started, this was still very much under construction. So she would just bring some pieces and the space next door, we'd put the pieces out and she'd start telling us her vision. Mm-hmm. And she did such a great job at it that it was like, okay, yep. All right, let's do those pieces.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Without ever having been in here.
Cool. Yeah. Now, can we go over what the Guardian Wine Storage and Lounge space offer? How does your clientele and customers get access to your space besides the wine storage? Obviously, we're talking about this lounge space. How does the logistics work for them coming into the space, getting a chance to hang out, maybe getting some wine delivered to their cellar or to the storage facility? How does that work? And we'll talk a little bit about how we track everything, but can you start there at least?
You bet. So our whole job is to make your wine life easy. So when you decide to store wine here, we give you an app on your phone and we program the rights so that you drive up to Guardian 7 days a week between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., you scan your phone and you're welcome to come in.
Wow.
And so that's how access to the site works.
Okay.
And then at 10:01, if you're not out of here, the alarm's going on and the police are getting called. Yeah. But that's how it works for access.
Okay.
And if you want to have your wine delivered here, we'll accept your wine shipments for free.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So you don't have to sit home waiting for the UPS guy to show up somewhere between 2 and 6 p.m.
Yeah. That window, right?
Yeah. That window. And then he shows up at 1. You missed him, yeah. Right? So we accept wine shipments on behalf of our clients.
Okay.
And then, and if you want to withdraw wine, so we're a little bit different setup than most wine storage facilities.
Okay.
Most wine storage facilities are lockers. You rent a locker space, kind of like a typical storage, temporary storage where you store your extra couch and
that. Yeah.
You rent a space. No matter how much wine you have, you rent the space that fits about as much wine as you have and you pay for your locker.
Okay.
Here, you don't get a locker. You only pay for what you store. Okay. So if you take out a case, you pay less the next month because you have one less case.
Okay.
And you don't have direct access to your wine. So you can't walk up and just grab a bottle off the shelf. So if you want your wine, all you have to do is call, text, or email us. Tell us what you want. We'll pull it for you. We'll deliver it to you. We'll hand it to you if you'd rather come here and pick it up. Mm-hmm. Or if we can't meet you for some reason, we'll put it in one of the locked little lockers we have within our lounge space. You can pick it up at your convenience.
Wow. Very nice.
And we also inventory every bottle that we store.
Okay.
So we know exactly what you have and you have access to it through a digital cellar. So like Cellar Tracker or Vivino or any of those.
Okay.
But this is a little bit different. It's a lot more powerful.
All right. Yeah.
So our software has a database of about 400,000 different wines. And most of the fine wines are they also track ratings, drinking windows, and current market price. So if you're into selling your wine or buying wine, you can look at your portfolio as an investment.
Wow.
We photograph every bottle. So if you're not sure if that was the Margaux that you wanted had a yellow label or a white label, you could go into the software, look at the picture, know which one, hit the little button that says deliver.
Wow.
And Chris or Eric will show up at your house with the wine and say, there you go.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We really tried to aim for that concierge level white glove service. And that's how we work.
You kind of skipped over there just a little bit when you said you delivered to the customer. I was like, when you said that, I was like, man, they have got it up to a very high level. They can call in and you pull their wine and go to Miss Jones down the block. Miss Jones, here's your wine. And, and that's fantastic. That's a level of service there.
That's, we designed this from the ground up. And we design it the way we would want it if we were a client. So we ask for 48 hours to deliver the wine. So think ahead, please. Yeah. But we've done it same day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, somebody called up and said, hey, I'm having a party. I need these two cases. And I said, I'll go pull them right now and I'll be there in 30 minutes.
That's fantastic. That's a high level service. I like it. Yeah.
It takes a pressure off, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I gotta go get my wine, I gotta go figure out which bottles I want and it's
where they are in the locker.
Where they are in the locker and this just gives people a really simple keystroke. Here's what I want and we've got it. We're on it.
You're mentioning, you know, like someone's having a dinner party. You know, clients are, you know, you're worried about, you know, how to, you know, get the house together, get the, you know, the guest list together, all these different things. And you know, you need your wine, but you don't really have time to run down to the place to grab the wine and to have a service like this and to call in the wine while you continue to do all the other logistical challenges for the party. Here you guys come knocking out the door. Here's your wine.
Covered. We're better than DoorDash.
Yeah, there you go.
If you really trust us, call us up and say, this is what I'm having for dinner. Oh. Pull something good.
Nice. Yeah. And help them pair that thing. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's great. That's definitely a higher level of service. Now, speaking of parties and gatherings and things like that, do you offer any of event services here in this space that that your clients can call you guys ahead and say, hey, I got 10 of business partners. We're needing to have a little bit of a get together or gathering. How do they try to reserve the space?
All they have to do is just reach out to us and let us know when and what time they'd like to have the space and how long, and we'll have it ready for them. We have all of the glassware. If they want wine pulled, we'll get it pulled for them.
Okay.
And they can have the space to themselves.
Okay.
If they want to serve food, we have connections with catering companies too. They're happy to coordinate all of that.
Okay.
If a client wants to just come in and use the space with a few friends, they can do it anytime, 10 a.m., 10 p.m., 7 days a week.
Okay.
If they want to reserve it for just a private party, they just have to give us some notice.
Okay. And once they reserve it for a private party, say, I want to come in from 5 to 7 to host this business meeting. Then do you send out a quick email to all other clients to say the space will be reserved for that time frame? Or are you still operating as normal if a client needs their wine, you still can go get it for them and take it to them and do all the things?
Usually we have enough notice that we do let other clients know that, hey, by the way, no access between us being rented. But if we can work our day around, a 2 or 4 or 6 hour party.
Sure.
If we're going to pull wine for somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have two spaces here. You have an upstairs space and a downstairs space. It's plenty good space for everybody to move around freely and have a good time. So I can't see why both of those things can happen.
Yeah. We've hosted some really, really fun parties here. And it's been fun to see the people use the space differently. So, well, yeah.
That's awesome. What are some of the wines that you guys drink personally? in terms of type, let's say in terms of grape varietals that you guys like, blends, red, sparkling, what do you like?
We love blends. I think, you know, tastes shift periodically. It depends on food also. Okay. You know, right now, if you said, you know, if I went to a restaurant, kind of what's my go-to, it's probably a Pinot.
Okay.
Probably more so from Oregon than California. A little cooler climate Pinot.
Sure.
And then we love the Burgundy area and the Chateau Neuf de Pop.
Last year I got last summer on a kick on Gruner Veltliner.
Yes, Gruner's great.
Have a great winery up in Oregon. Mm-hmm. The first ones to actually commercially grow it in the United States. Wow. Russell Prayer Rock is their name, and it's fantastic. And then Albarino kind of hit.
Yeah.
And from
Rhea Spices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I love those for the summer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good CDP or, you know, I like a little bit of Malbec now and again.
Now, do you guys offer, in terms of, you know, bringing in more clients and continuing to spread the word about this type of facility and the services, like, do you guys offer any wine tastings, kind of an open house and saying we're here on Thursday evening from 6 to 8, we're having a wine tasting or some type of great varietal seminar of sorts, an educational event where we can get folks mingling around, talking about wine and talking about the space. You got any services like that?
We do. We've hosted a couple of events already. We've got a few on the boards. Most of the stuff we're doing, we're trying to cater towards our members.
Okay.
Provide them an experience and something to do. But it is important to get the word out. So we are doing some things that are open to the public. Like for instance, on April 23rd, we're hosting Donlan Family Wines from Sonoma.
Okay.
He's coming out here. He's doing a private tasting for our members first, and then we have a second tasting open for the public.
Very nice.
So that's out for signups.
Okay.
We're doing something kind of fun in May. Never heard of this before, but we've decided to pair and do a wine and ice cream pairing.
Okay. Wow. That'd be interesting.
That's kind of the reaction I get from most people. It's like, wow. Uh-huh. But there's a local ice cream maker here.
Okay.
Flight Ice Cream, Matt Sorensen. Mm-hmm. And Matt does all custom flavors. And so we were talking about it a little bit. And I said, could you make something really, really unique? Like, what could pair with a Riesling? And we started kind of kicking some ideas around it. And we came up with cilantro lime ice cream.
Oh,
oops! That one's anyway,
yeah. That's okay.
A little spoiler.
Have you ever tried cilantro ice cream?
I've never tried cilantro ice cream.
It's awesome.
Is it awesome?
So good. Yeah. So we did a little beta testing this week and got a group of people together and tasted some of his flavors with some wines and. It turned out pretty good.
Pretty good. That sounds exciting. Yeah.
So we're going to be doing that in May. Yeah.
Okay.
And that'll be open to the public.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And you did mention that you guys have some direct line communication for some catering type of business. If a client were to call you up and said, I want to have... a 12 to 15 person event with food. Can you help us cater this event and pull our wines? Is that something you can also work out with them?
Yeah.
We're here to make it as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. So give us a call and we'll take care of all the rest.
You'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like you guys got this, you know, covered from all angles, from the decor to the very specific cellar temperature, you know, wine cellar back there. It seems like you guys have figured it all out. Is there anything else that you guys want to mention about this space, about the community, about the business, that you want our listeners to, know about Guardian?
You have an option for storing your wine, and we're here to make it simple and super and easy.
Well, awesome. Well, where can our listeners find you guys, either socials or emails? Where can they reach out to you to either become a client, to ask you some questions about the services that they heard here today? How can they get in contact with you guys?
We can be reached through Instagram at WineGuardian.
Okay.
WineGardien. Website is www.wineguardian.com.
Okay.
Most of our social action is in Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. Or info@wineguardian.com.
Okay.
And the French spelling of guardian. So we had to tip our cap to the motherland of wine, right?
Well, cool, cool. Well, I really like to thank you guys once again for taking the opportunity to speak with us here on the Texas Wine Scene podcast. I know you guys are very busy. You guys have a business to run, and I value your time as business owners. But I definitely wanted to continue to spread the word about the wonderful things you guys are doing in this community and what you guys are doing here in Texas for people who need to store their collections of wine and have a space that they can come to very comfortably and drink wine and commune amongst each other.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Eric and Chris, for your time spent here at the Texas Wine Scene. We look forward to many more wine events and elevated experiences at your Texas Hill Country Wine Storage facility in the future.